Welcome to the traditional low post hoop collective with Brian Windhorst finals crossover from the floor of Ball Arena after the Denver Nuggets in their first NBA finals in franchise history in front of a raucous crowd, a lot of whom stuck around to serenade Joker when he went over to the NBA TV table over there just now. 104-93, some of the notable stats, Mr. Windhorst. The Heat took two free throws the entire game.
It's hard to do.
Nikola Jokic took 12 by himself. The Nuggets only shot 8 of 27 from 3. The Heat got a little bit hot late. Couple runs in the third quarter and the fourth quarter to make it interesting. Nikola Jokic, 27, 14, and 10. Jimmy Butler, just 13 points, 6 of 14, no free throws. Did not really look aggressive. Did not go at Jamal Murray the way I thought he would. Went at Michael Porter Jr. a few times. Had Jamal Murray on him on switches a few possessions, didn't go at him. He has games like that where he just kind of tries to feel his way into it and see if the team can get into it. And the Nuggets more or less controlled this the whole way. What's a big takeaway for you?
So here's my thing. If you told Eric Spoelstra 3 hours ago he is going to get up 104 points, he might have thought he'd be up 1-0. As good as the Nuggets offense looked, as efficient as they were, I think the Heat did a reasonable job, all things considered. And I think if the Heat had been able to hit some shots, we'd have had a game. And what I would say on the other side of that is I think the Nuggets can be even better. I think that they finished flat in the fourth quarter. And I don't think they deployed all their offensive options.
Well, how about the Michael Malone keeps Murray and Jokic on the floor to start the fourth quarter, and they immediately give up an 8-0 run that starts with...
I was 11-0.
Was it 11-0? Yeah. I know it was 8-0 because it started with them throwing away the inbounds pass. Yeah. Haywood Highsmith stole it. Then there were a couple Kyle Lowry threes.
Haywood Highsmith hit one.
Haywood Highsmith hit a corner three. That's right, an open corner three. Yeah, the Strus 0-for-9 missed a bunch of good looks early in the game that kind of got the Heat behind the eight ball. A transition three, I remember he came off a flare screen. He was wide open. He missed the three. Michael Porter Jr., who I thought had a really, really good all-around game.
I thought he had an absolutely brilliant first quarter.
13 rebounds, I think, 2 blocks. His rim protection was big. And he had a play in the third quarter where – he had an open three in the left corner, pump fake, flyby, had another, could have shot a three, dribbled in and was going up. And you could tell he was like, I might be able to dunk this. And then he was like, oh, I'm not going to be able to dunk this. Dropped it off to Joker for a layup. And like, that's not a play he makes a couple seasons ago, maybe last season.
He had that
season.
Putback dunk, too.
The putback dunk against his own. And then a similar kind of play that just, it's one of those, like that Porter pass to Jokic, Aaron Gordon, who was absolutely dominating the first quarter of the game, getting mismatches on cross matches and posting up guys, putting them in the basket. He was posting up Caleb Martin, I think, and like getting traction, backing him down. And you're like, he's rolling. And when a guy like that is rolling on that same kind of shot, you never see what happened next. And what happened next was he went up to shoot and he saw Michael Porter Jr. open in the left corner and he whipped the pass over to him at the last minute. He was in the air. MPJ missed the shot. But it's like those are the plays that just like those are healthy culture plays.
That one play where Jokic gets the ball on Butler, I think he's in the lane. He's got a 7-footer in the lane if he wants it. And he throws the ball to, I think it was Bruce Brown. Wide open three. The Nuggets pass up good shots for great shots.
So you said before 104 points. And so here are the numbers according to Cleaning the Glass. The Nuggets scored 112 points per 100 possessions. That's a little bit below average. Half-court offense is a little bit above average. They got nothing in transition, no offensive rebounds. They took care of the ball, which is a big deal against Miami. Miami needs to force turnovers, and Denver did not give them any in the game. But to your point, it was not like a killer by the numbers offensive performance from Denver. But I came away from this game, despite what I just said, still feeling the same way I felt coming into it, which is I just don't think that they have an answer for Jokic. And every time they threw the ball into Jokic and Bam tried to front him, and then if Jokic could get Bam behind him, they'd enter it and they'd dig a little bit and he'd kick it back out, and then Bam would front him again and they tried. But like when they got it to him, There was just nothing they could do. It was basket, foul, double team, three, and then the zone was their answer in the fourth quarter, and I think it did kind of take Denver out of their rhythm for just a bit.
So what I thought in the fourth quarter was they really sold out on denying Jokic's passing. And there was a couple of times where Jokic was just standing there by himself. He was like, oh, okay, literally no one's covering me. I guess I'll shoot. I think he had five shots going into the fourth, maybe six shots going into the fourth. And
he scored 27 points on 12 shots.
I think he took six shots in the fourth. I think he had six shots going into the fourth and took six shots in the fourth. And the Heat won the fourth quarter. So here's what I'd say. I think the Nuggets played great. Very impressive performance with 9 days off. They looked fresh. Good game plan. They were like, listen, Spo, if you want to start small with Caleb Martin again, we're going to punish you. Because that's one thing that happens.
Kevin Love DNP.
Yeah, it's hard because they'll stretch Love out. You know, there's certain circumstances where they can play him. I wouldn't be surprised if they tried him a little bit in game two. But let me just say that it's one thing to know that Denver has 3 7-footers. Obviously, the Heat knew that. They're like, okay, Aaron Gordon's 6'10", whatever, Michael Porter's. But they basically got 3 7-footers. It's one thing to know that. It's another thing when you actually have to go out there and face it. It's kind of like what I say about the zone. It's one thing to prepare for the Heat zone. It's another thing to face it. The length gave Miami problems early in the game. They were not ready for the length. The length really bothered them. And the game plan that Michael Malone put together took advantage of that length. It was a very good, savvy game plan. I thought they were going to come out and run, Zach, because in the Lakers series, remember the Lakers are coming off that grueling series with the Warriors. Denver had the rest advantage there. Playing here, they came out and ran. The Lakers were puffing and puffing. And so I said, okay, well, they're going to come out and do it again. But they didn't really. Instead, they just said, okay, we're not going to run, but we're going to go to the half court and we're going to pound you with our size. It was a real nice game plan, but I don't know how you beat Jokic 4 out of 6, especially in a game like tonight where I actually thought they did a good job and they still were never really in the game.
I don't know either. And to your point about the length, in the second half they put Caleb Martin on Jamal Murray and Gabe Vincent on Michael Porter Jr. And you could see Denver right away digest that and say, all right, we got to start running some plays for MPJ to get shots off handoffs and pin downs. And he missed most of those shots, but I thought that was a good idea by them. And you just look at the numbers, like, all around Denver's key guys, all I thought other than KCP, who was kind of quiet, played pretty well. And MPJ was only 5 of 16. We talked about him. I just thought Aaron Gordon in the first half was awesome. And it wasn't just the post scoring, which is something I had talked about before the series, that he'd have enough little guys that he can hunt those guys and put them under the rim. But they used him as a back screener, and they got Murray a dunk out of it with Jokic handling the ball at the elbow. They used him as an entry passer for almost that exact same set, and Murray again got a backdoor cut out of it with Jokic as the passer that time. Just the way they move him around is really, really smart. And Jamal Murray, just like 26 and 10, made a couple of, like, when they played zone in the first half, they only did it when Jokic was on the bench. They were afraid to play zone with Jokic. And Murray hit a couple of just, like, tough step back, spinning long twos, a flyby three, I think. He's, like, has a knack for just manufacturing points when Jokic is not on the floor. And as for the zone, like, I did think the zone kind of – they played it in the fourth quarter with Jokic on the floor, which I didn't think they were going to have the guts to do. And for kind of a few possessions, it worked. I'm looking at the numbers now. By the end of the game, 19 possessions against zone, 1.16 points per possession for Denver. That's good. It's not great, but that's good enough to win. And I did think they started to find some sweet spots in it from like the 8-minute mark of the fourth quarter on. And I just think it's going to get – I just don't know what the answer is for Miami. I just don't know.
Miami's got to shoot the ball really well. They – 13 to 39 on threes tonight.
And to your point earlier, I think they were 4 of 17 in the first half. So they, like, the timing of those threes matters to me.
Yes. You know, I don't want to say they were garbage time threes because they were still competing. The Denver had its starters in. But, you know, the threes in the fourth quarter when you're down 17, 15, it's not quite the same as if they able to hit some of those Strus. You know, it's Strus, even if Strus had hit two of those threes.
It's a different game.
Yeah. And that's probably what they're going to be talking about. The other thing is Bam Adebayo, he was really not good on offense the last five games of that Celtics series. Really not good. And the Heat were actually undefeated in the postseason when Strus, we're undefeated in the postseason when Adebayo scored over 20. And that's because normally when he scores over 20, and he's also a distributor, they're really diverse on offense. In this game, he killed them with the short roll. He killed them when he got the ball in the paint. And when he when they brought help, he would find the guy running the baseline. They had a nice game working there. And if you'd have told me before the game, Nuggets only scored 104, Bam scores 26, I'd have given you odds that the Heat won that game.
I thought, aside from just missed open threes, which are going to happen, their non-Jimmy offense actually looked okay. And the possessions where they had the Jimmy offense working, like, for the start of the possession on one side of the floor and then, like, all the shooter cool cut stuff working at the same time, those worked. Like, when they brought Strus or Duncan Robinson off Bam for handoffs or quick kind of catch-and-go plays, Jokic would come up, the pocket pass to Bam would be there. They had a couple sequences where Bam would hit Jimmy under the rim. Jimmy kicked it out to a corner shooter for three. Like, that's how the Heat are going to have to play. They're going to have to mix in the Jimmy stuff, mix in that stuff where they get Jokic really moving north-south multiple times in the same possession. I thought they got that. And Bam, you know, I thought Bam had a good game. Weirdly, the Nuggets will live with 26 points on 25 shots for Bam.
I agree.
They'll live with it.
Yeah.
What the Heat cannot live. I mean, what did you think of Butler's game? Because that was I just thought he was just not there the way they need him to be there. Obviously,
he's set the standard that he will have these games where he just takes the ball, ISOs, and kills. He just didn't do that, you know. And I'm not sure my concern for the Heat isn't generating good shots on offense. My concern for the Heat is how the hell they're going to stop that Nuggets machine at the other end of the floor. So Jimmy can be better. Bam can be more efficient. Obviously, Strus and Duncan Robinson can hit a couple of shots. I don't have a problem with the way they run their offense. I have a real concern about how they're going to handle that team on defense. And, you know, I think Jimmy would admit that the size bothered him. You know, in the last series, when they had Robert Williams and Jason Tatum on him, he struggled with against that size. Well, and the size was on him again tonight.
Aaron Gordon is bigger than Jimmy. He might be stronger than Jimmy. Probably is. I mean, I don't know how you would even measure that. What, are you going to make them bench press against each other or something?
Arm wrestle?
Yeah. It could arm wrestle. That seems plausible. There's 2 days off between games.
You know, in arm wrestling, isn't there like a mental aspect of it? I feel like Jimmy would.
Yeah. He might cheat, too, like kick him under the table. We have 2 days off. We could do my thing where I suggested last week that all media members should have to go through a mandatory training of trying to run around a Bam Adebayo screen and have him just hit you really hard on screen just to make sure that we have time. We could do that tomorrow.
No. What, do you have a workman's comp desire?
Yeah, that's what everyone said.
You want to slip a disc?
I'd have to sign something. What were we talking about? Jimmy, Bam, I don't even remember anymore.
You want me to? I mean, what about running into a Jokic pick?
Yeah, that would hurt too.
If only starting your fitness journey was as easy as starting this podcast. The truth is, all the lift big, get big, and beach body ready in 3 weeks pressure stops most of us from even starting. And starting is what matters most. It's everything. Wherever you're beginning, wherever you want to be, Peloton encourages you to just start. With thousands of classes to get you moving and doing what you can. If that's a 10-minute low impact class, they've got those. And when you're ready, take it up a gear. With a 30-minute live DJ ride, start with Peloton and find instructors that will keep you motivated to stay on your fitness journey, learn the basics, and build from there. Remember, doing something is everything. Get started with a Peloton bike or bike plus rental at onepeloton.com/bike/rentals. Terms apply. You can now stream the most MLB games on DirecTV without a satellite dish. Yes! Catch the clutch hits, strikeouts, grand salamis, web gems with nothing on your roof. So who's there up there, whether it's roofers, Santa, birds, old-timey chimney sweeps, moody teenagers, thrill-seeking raccoons, watch out for them. You name it, they won't find a satellite dish. But you will find your MLB games on DirecTV. That means DirecTV is your home for baseball this season. Root, root, root with nothing on your roof. Yes, stream your team. Call 1-800-DIRECTV or visit DirecTV.com. Sign up today. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package.
So, oh, the scoring machine. That's just, I mean, it's boring. I just keep coming back to... I think there was one possession the whole game where maybe there was more than one, but there was one where Jokic got a clean post up against Bam with his back to the basket. Bam didn't have the opportunity to front him, and no help came, and Jokic just put him under the rim and drew a foul. It's just untenable. The fronting, to credit Michael Malone and his coaching staff, they were clearly ready for the Heat to front Jokic in the post, which is like an obvious thing, but the first two of the first three possessions of the game, Jamal Murray and then Aaron Gordon saw Bam fronting Jokic and was like, instead of trying to force an entry pass or slow the offense, I'm going to just drive right at that fronted post guy, because if Bam's fronting him, there's nobody on the other side, and I'm just going to use it as a big screen. Jamal Murray got a layup. Aaron Gordon got a layup. So the fronting kind of worked sometimes, kind of didn't work. Then there were like three or four possessions where Strus was on Jokic by accident on a random cross match. That was death immediately. It was like post-entry three-pointer. Jimmy was on him once. You mentioned that one. There was another possession where Jimmy was on Jamal Murray, and the Heat, I think, intentionally said, let's see what happens if we switch the Murray-Jokic pick and roll, put Butler on him. Immediate kick-out three for Jamal Murray. There was another one when Highsmith was on Murray, which I thought we would see, and Murray and Jokic ran a pick and roll, and Highsmith switched onto Jokic, and Bam did not switch onto Murray, and Murray was like, oh, no one's guarding me. I'm just going to shoot a three. And Highsmith looked at Bam like, aren't we supposed to switch that? And if I were Bam, I'd be like, you can go switch onto Jokic, man. You got no chance. So, like, and then you throw in the zone, which I just think Denver will figure out.
I thought they did a good job on defense.
But I'm saying every time they got the ball to Jokic down low, something good happened, and I just don't know fundamentally how the Heat extricate themselves out of that reality.
Four out of six times.
Like, there's no Anthony Davis lurking on the weak side to disrupt stuff at the rim. There's no Rudy Gobert. There's no, you know, Ayton has done an okay job, not this playoffs against. I just don't know what the answer is for them.
Yeah, I just Denver is playing with an extraordinary confidence. And when you see the Porter didn't even have a good shooting game. He was a plus player. Gordon was a plus player. Bruce Brown was a plus player.
Every damn game Bruce Brown comes off the bench. He's an adventurer, too. Sometimes he's like, I'm going to be real adventurous off the dribble. I'm like, Bruce, just stop. Pass it up. But it always works out. He's like having a blessed season.
They're just they just get contributions from everybody. I mean, even, you know, Christian Brown tonight in his first finals game, you know, first game of this magnitude, he made some plus plays. I mean, they were a good team all year long. In the second half, they sputtered a little bit. And I don't know if it was, you know, complacency, but they are playing their best basketball. And I just, when they are this crisp, you're not touching them. I don't think you're touching them.
So you mentioned Bam, the Heat undefeated stat when Bam has 20. The Nuggets are 9-0 here at Ball Arena, which I incorrectly called Ball Center earlier. And someone's going to have to beat him here. But I will say this. The Heat, 13 of 39. They did not shoot well from two. They got two free throws. A goose egg from Strus.
By the way, on the free throws, they didn't play with much force.
There were only like three or four times where I thought, okay, that could have been a foul. It wasn't like anything egregious.
Yeah. You know, there was some contact at the rim. I'm sure the Heat fans can isolate those plays, but I didn't watch this game and go, oh my God, what a, you know. And by the way, they scored a lot of points in the paint. They had a lot of baskets in the paint.
11 offensive rebounds, which is not bad. They only had 8 turnovers, so they're going to get – the Heat are a shots-on-goal team. They get their shots on goal. But a goose egg from Strus.
Denver only committed 8 fouls in this game.
Three – it's unbelievable. 3 points from Caleb Martin, conference finals. But not playoff hero, just good player Caleb Martin. And you know they're coming out – like full blast in game 2, because I don't care what they say about, well, we haven't played a home game yet. They do not want to fall behind 2-0 and have to beat this team 4 out of 5. So I'm expecting, I don't know what strategic stuff Spo and his guys will cook up in the lab, but I'm expecting a Butler game in game 2. I'm expecting the game that we didn't get today where he's just like, give me the goddamn ball. Where's Jamal Murray? I'm going to beat him up.
That hasn't really happened since he sprained his ankle.
It's been a while, 2 days off, used to the altitude. I think they're going to approach game 2 like we have to win this game.
Yeah, I would just say I expect the Heat to definitely play better offense. They're going to score more than 87 points. I expect the Nuggets to score better offense too. That's what I'm saying.
Any other interesting takeaways from this game or our first 48 hours in beautiful Denver, Colorado, where it rained and thundered during NBA Today? Today, it was a little, Malika got scared at one point. She's like, boom, crashing thunder right behind her.
What do you want me to say to that?
No, do you have any other takeaways from the game? Is there anything else? Did you like the uniforms? Did you like the scene in the arena? Was there any basketball stuff we didn't mention? Kyle Lowry had a good game.
I hung out with Ken Jeong after the game.
I saw that. He called you Windy.
Yeah.
He looked like he was having a good time.
He enjoyed the game. He had some of the best seats in the house, which he said he bought on Ticketmaster. I said, how'd you get these seats? He goes, I bought them on Ticketmaster. And he wasn't being, I think he did buy them on Ticketmaster. So he said he chartered a plane to fly in from LA.
Okay.
He said, listen, there's a writer's strike. I can't work. I charter a plane. And I said, you know why you can charter that plane and buy these seats? He said, why? I said, because you did Hangover 3. And he agreed with me.
I don't think I saw Hangover 3. I did see Hangover
1 and 2.
They
got paid for it. He got paid for it.
I can't imagine that they keep making the same mistake over and over again.
Zach, that movie was 10 years ago. I'm just making a joke about a terrible movie you got paid a bunch of money
for.
Was
it bad? It couldn't have been. Couldn't have been good.
It was bad.
Okay. Denver wins.
What about you? Anything else for you?
No, I'm looking at the box score to see if anything jogs my memory. I thought it was the zone, using the zone against Jokic and having it not be just a barrage of awfulness from Miami was a little surprising to me. I just don't think that can sustain. And I thought Jokic found something when he was like, if you're going to put Haywood Highsmith at the top of the zone, and he was good at it, I'm going to catch the ball at the nail against him. I'm just going to turn this into an ISO. I think he missed a floater. He had a floater that he passed up to kick it to KCP for a corner 3. And he had that little drop pass to Jeff Green for a layup, which is a beautiful pass. And then they brought in MPJ as like a zone-busting shooter. He got a wide-open corner 3 right away that he missed. I just think in the aggregate, that is not something you can throw at Jokic over and over and over again if he's got enough shooting around him. But it was interesting that the first 5 or 6 possessions, Denver actually kind of appeared a little out of rhythm.
Just think Jokic can't have 14 assists. You've got to get his assists down, even if it means his points go up.
Well, this is – so I was talking to Mark Jackson after the game. I'll just say this. I don't think Mark would mind. I said, what'd you think? And he said – I don't remember what he said. And then I said, I just don't know what their answer is for the big fella. And he said, I think you just got to make him a scorer. I think you just got to make him
score.
He
said that during the broadcast, Zach.
Did he really?
Yes.
Okay. Well, he said it to me after the game, too. So I think you got to make him score. And I said back to him, well, then he's going to score. Like, then he's just going to score, like, 50 points. Like, I don't know that that's a real thing. I don't know that that's a real thing, like
it's
a strategy.
It's the lesser of two evils.
No, it's not.
By the way,
if he scores 50 points, he's also going to have 8 assists, and you're just going to lose it that way.
Here, let me tell you one thing that the Nuggets do so well. They are totally at ease when there's 4 seconds on the shot clock.
Yeah, they are. In fact, they'll be like, can we fit 3 passes in?
They were like, no problem. And I guess a lot of times it's just Jokic going, I got it. But, like, there were many possessions where the Heat were, like, defend really good defense for 20 seconds and still gave up an easy shot. It's demoralizing playing them.
Oh, that did jog my memory. You mentioned transition and the Nuggets not getting out of transition. I think you got to give a lot of credit to that, to Miami. Their transition defense, this is what I mean by they make you earn everything. The Lakers were a horrible transition team all season. They have players who fall on the ground a lot. The Heat are a great transition defense team, and they don't fall on the ground a lot. And that's like a big part of trying to get a shot against Denver is you just don't let Jokic run those 5-on-3 fast breaks, which are going to kill you every time.
I thought the Heat played reasonably well in this game. This
was not – maybe the fourth quarter skewed our perception a little bit, but although this was a pretty comfortable Denver win the whole game, and although I picked Denver to win the series – Six. I flirted with five and went six. I didn't come out of this game feeling like, ooh, this is a mismatch. Like, I saw a lot of stuff on Twitter, like, Nuggets in four, this is over. And I'm like, I also could just have too much respect for Miami and how they scrounged these wins, but I didn't come out of this feeling like this is a wildly bad mismatch.
So, like, I got skewered here in Denver because I was on First Take or Get Up or something the day after they swept the Lakers. I talked about how the Lakers played extremely well for a team that got swept.
How dare you?
That was a compliment to the Nuggets. I know that nuance is not allowed in America, but I was complimenting the Nuggets that the Lakers actually played pretty well.
Yeah, they did.
And the Nuggets slapped them down. And here's what I'm saying again. It's not going to look this way on the final scoreboard because Miami didn't make shots. Miami played well tonight, and the Nuggets still slapped them down. And then how many times are you going to watch that happen before you can come to the conclusion that no one's touching them?
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart?
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes!
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
No one's touched them yet. What are they, 13-3 now in the playoffs?
That's right.
It's a pretty damn good record, actually. You know, obviously.
And here's the other thing. Had the Heat gotten it down to 5 points with 5 minutes to go, they happen to be a killer clutch team and a killer, killer, killer home clutch team.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it can work. You can beat them in the clutch. It's not impossible. But even if you accomplish getting them into a tight game here, they've got so much confidence because of all the reps and all high-quality performances they've had here.
I might be trying to speak it into existence, but I'm talking to people around the arena before the game, I predicted a comfortable Denver win tonight. I actually said 21 points was my predicted margin, so I lost on that. I'm smelling a tight game in game two.
By the way, speaking of margin, it was 11-point game, right?
Yeah.
Final Heat possession. Nikola Jovic goes down the lane, acts a fool, tries to heave up a shot, and Nikola Jokic slapped the ball off Jovic's leg out of bounds. The spread was 8.5. Tell me there wasn't a lot of people watching that possession and couldn't believe the rookie who was in high school at the start of the season. You think I'm joking. He had to take a day off to graduate high school.
Didn't go for a three.
Well, it just nope. They didn't run any off. They didn't run any play.
I'm not gonna lie. By that time, I was packing up my computer.
Well, that's why you're not comprehensively following till the buzzer.
It ended out here. Okay, so we're gonna do this again after game two, right?
We are.
In Ball Arena, and hopefully, we get a nice, exciting NBA Finals game on Sunday. I've lost all track of the days. I believe it is on Sunday. At 8 p.m. How great is we just watched an NBA Finals game and recorded a podcast. It's only 10 o'clock. Remember those Cleveland games would tip off at like 9:19?
Yeah, and that's the way game three is going to be in Miami.
Yeah, but they'll tip off at 8:38 or something. This is civilized.
Yes.
All right. Thanks, everybody, for listening.
Zach's going to the bar.
I mean, I got some work to do, but there are bars. I'll see y'all.
There are bars.
We'll see y'all in game two.